In Psalm chapter 33, verse 12, the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy is the nation who trusts in God." And you know, I was thinking about it this week. The word nation is a word like church. Both of those words have no meaning apart from the people that make them up. What is a church? It's not this building. This is a church building. But what is a church? We are. What is a nation? A nation is a conglomeration of people. So you and I and every other American make up this nation called America. What does a church believe? You know, this building can't have no beliefs. The brick and the stone and the carpet doesn't believe anything. What this church believes is what you and I believe. Who does a nation trust? A nation trusts who its people trust. And we've all read the papers. There's a small majority, and I'll emphasize the word small. They're less than 3%. There's a small majority that are trying to say today that America no longer trusts God. And we want to take God out of everything. We've taken prayers out of schools. They're fighting now to take the phrase "under God" out of the Pledge of Allegiance, and it won't be long until somebody raises up their ugly heads and says, "We've got to take "In God We Trust" off of everything that it's on." And this morning, I want to echo what Isaiah says in chapter 12, verse 2, that Brother Chuck read a moment ago. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust." I will trust in that Jehovah God who is my strength and my song and my salvation. And this morning, I want to preach on the subject, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And I want to give you four reasons why it's sweet. You know, we sing that song often, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And as I was thinking about today, and I was thinking about it being the 4th of July, all week the Lord's been leading me to say, okay, why is it good to trust in God? Why is it sweet to trust in Jesus? And this morning, I want to answer that question with a four-part answer. Number one, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus because Jesus is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. His word is sure. What he says, he will do. The Bible says, "Thy word, O God, is settled in heaven forever." And I'm so glad that he's trustworthy. I'm so glad that I don't have to have a contract with God to get him to do what he promised that he was going to do. I'm so glad that I don't need his bond. I'm so glad that I don't need a bunch of lawyers taking God to court, making him do what he said he was going to do. And after spending all day Thursday with about 30 of them, I don't care if I ever, no offense to anybody, I don't care if I ever see another lawyer. But I'm glad that we don't need lawyers to make God in court do what he says. I'm glad that God every time does, will do, always has what he said he would do. Amen. We can rest upon his promises. Every promise is true. There's not one that's ever been broken. He promised Noah, "I'll never destroy the world again with a flood." He promised Abraham, "I will use your family to bless all the nations of the earth." He promised David, there will always be a descendant of yours that will sit on the throne. He promised his disciples, "Hey, you follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men." He promised that thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now I know the first four of those have been kept. I know that when God made those promises to Noah, to Abraham, to David, when Jesus made the promise to the disciple, that all four of those promises, I can read it in his book, I can read it in the word, I can stand here today and tell you they've been kept. And one day when I get to heaven, I'm going to meet that thief who hung beside Jesus on the cross, and he's going to testify to me, "Hey, he kept his promise. promise. I've been in paradise since the day of the crucifixion, enjoying every single moment of it. God keeps his promises. And we can know that, we can just know because we have his word. I used to work with a guy by the name of Ed Ross. He was older than I, about my age now when I first met him. He's a very quiet kind of guy, a very soft-spoken kind of guy. He did not speak very often, but when he spoke, you always listened. In fact, there was a commercial on about that time advertising E.F. Hutton. And the tagline of that commercial was, "When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen." And the thought was that because they were a stockbroker, when they talked, people listened because they knew what they were talking about. And the people that worked for Mr. Ross, they began to say that about Ed. When Mr. Ross speaks, people listen. And Ed got a chuckle out of that. But I want to tell you something. I knew when Mr. Ross, there were times when he was wrong. I can tell you for sure there have been times when E.F. Hutton has been wrong. But I want to tell you, this morning, there has never been a time when our God has been wrong. He knows, and you can rest on his word. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. It's sweet to trust in Jesus, number one, because he's trustworthy. It's sweet to trust in Jesus, number two, because he is my salvation. Isaiah said it there in verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. You know, isn't it funny how people trust a lot of different things to make them right with God, to ensure their eternity? I mean, there's people today that are trusting their heritage. They're trusting their parents, their grandparents, their family tree. They have the idea because they had good parents and because they come from good stock, a good family tree, that God is going to think more highly of them. Hey, mom and dad, we're good. God liked them, so God will like me. Well, I think it's a wonderful thing to have good parents. I think it's a wonderful thing to have good grandparents. I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to look back at your family tree and not see any outlaws or, you know, things like that. Although I think we all have them. That's one of the branches we tried to cut off. But we all have them on our family trees. And I think it's good to come from a good heritage. But I'll tell you what. Just because you have a good family tree doesn't give you any more favor with God than somebody that doesn't have one. Just because you had a good mom and dad, just because you have a good set of grandparents, doesn't open the door of heaven any wider for you than it does anybody else. Our heritage will not make us right with God. Yet some people trust it today. Some people trust who they are. They stand up and say, "Hey, I'm important. I have a position, I have title, I have money." And I want to tell you something this morning. Just because you think you're important doesn't make any difference to God. I like what David says when he was talking about all of us. He said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" He said, "When I look up into the heavens and I see the stars and the moon and the sun and all the mighty power of God that put it there, what am I that ye even think of me? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest me?" God loves you. He loves every single person in this room this morning, like we talked about in Sunday school. But he's not impressed by how important you think you are. And that won't get you into heaven. There's other people that trust what they do. They say, "Hey, I'm a good person. I help the poor. I visit the sick. I'm decent. I'm moral. I pay my taxes. I obey the laws. I'm an okay kind of person." And I think it's great that you're an okay kind of person. But God says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. It's not of works, it says in Ephesians, lest any man should boast. And your goodness won't get you into heaven any quicker than the person that spent all night drinking and lays in a gutter this morning. Some people say, "Well, I go to church. I've been baptized. I take the Lord's Supper. I come to Sunday school. Come to church every time the doors open. All that's good stuff. But just because you come to church and just because you have been take the Lord's Supper, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the door of heaven won't open one inch for you. It's not church. It's sweet to trust in Jesus because he is my salvation. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, hope you never get tired of hearing this verse because I never get tired of quoting it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We sing that song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hebrews, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to trust his cleansing flood. And in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing blood. It's sweet to trust in Jesus because, number one, he's trustworthy. It's sweet to trust in Jesus, number two, because he is my salvation. It's sweet to trust in Jesus, number three, because he is my strength. There in verse 2, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. He gives me day to day what I need. He provides. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know what we need to have? We need to maintain a wilderness mentality. A wilderness mentality. Here's what I mean by that. When the people of God were going through the wilderness, when they were making that journey from Egypt to the promised land, you know, the Bible says it was only a journey of 11 days. God wanted to take them about a year and a half. They ended up taking 40 years to make that journey. But every day that they were in that wilderness, they knew that God was taking care of them. I mean, they didn't have farms and gardens that they could get their vegetables from. They didn't have wells from which they could draw water. They didn't have jobs and businesses from which they could make a living. And by the way, they didn't have grocery stores or super Walmarts where they could go and pick out what they wanted to eat for the day. God set the table every morning when he sent manna from heaven. He set the table when he sent the quail in so that they could enjoy meat with their bread. When they needed water, they didn't have a well. They went to the rock, and God brought water out of the rock. He gave them clothes that didn't wear out. He gave them shoes that grew, that not only didn't wear out, but grew as their feet grew. He gave them shade by day and warmth by night. He protected them from all their enemies. And in their wilderness, every single solitary person knew that it wasn't themselves that were taking care of themselves. It was a God in heaven. And we need to get that same kind of mentality. Because you see, we have farms and we have gardens, but it's still God that feeds us every day. Well, we have wells and water systems that we can turn on the tap and get a glass of water whenever we want it. But we need to remember that it's still God that provides that water. We have jobs and we have bank accounts, and most of us can go and buy what we need. And we have stores and Walmarts and all that kind of stuff. But we need to remember that it's still God that is our strength. It's still God that gives us what we need day by day. Every business could close. Every well could run dry. Every job could disappear. Every Walmart, A&P, Piggly Wiggly. I haven't seen a Piggly Wiggly for a long time. A&P may not be open for all I know. But every grocery store that we know could close. And I'll tell you what. We ought to still depend on the one who feeds us today, because he's the one that's going to feed us tomorrow. It's not General Motors. It's not some company that you work for. It's our God in heaven that's our strength. It's our God in heaven that takes care of us. And we need to remember, it's sweet to trust in Jesus because he's our strength. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. It's sweet to trust in him because he is trustworthy. It's sweet to trust in him because he is our salvation. It's sweet to trust in him because he is our strength. Number four, it's sweet to trust in him because he will stay forever. Matthew chapter 28, he says, I am with you always. I'm glad we don't have a fair weather friend in Jesus. I'm glad he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm glad that we don't retain him as a friend because of how we act. I mean, if Jesus was only my friend when I deserved it by my actions and my attitudes, he wouldn't stay. But it's not my actions and my attitudes that keeps him as my friend. He stays my friend forever. In Romans chapter 8, I mentioned it in Sunday school, open assembly. The Bible asked a rhetorical question. It asked the question, who shall separate us from the love of God? And then it answers. It says, shall tribulation or distresses or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And Paul says, no! None of these things. He says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end, to the end. In God we trust. The question today is not who does America trust, but who do you and who do I trust? I hope it's Jesus. I hope you can sing the chorus of that song that I've quoted this morning, the four verses, and mean it from the very depths of your heart. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust thee. How I've proved thee o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust thee more. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us a Savior who it is so sweet to trust. I pray this morning for those that might be here that have never trusted him for their salvation. Help them to see that there's no other way. It's not the church. It's not their good works. It's not their family. It's not their position. When Jesus said that he was the way, help us to understand that he's the only way. There's no way around the cross. There's no way around the empty tomb. There's no way around the person who hung on that cross and laid in that tomb. No way around him to get to heaven. And I pray for that person, even if there's just one here this morning that's never made the decision to receive Christ. Help them to see this morning that the only hope they have for heaven, the only hope they have for getting their sins forgiven, is to put their trust and the Christ of the old rugged cross. And then, Father, I pray the majority of people that are here this morning are Christians. We've trusted Christ. We know what it is to have our sins forgiven. We know what it is to have a hope for heaven. Help us to trust him as our strength. Help us to trust him day by day for what we need. Thank you, dear Jesus, for being with us till the end. And really, there is no end, because when you came and started loving us, and saved us. We're going to be together forever in that place called heaven. Thank you for that. Father, I just ask you now to bless the invitation. Again, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, I pray they'll decide to receive him right now. If the Christian here is having a tough time, regardless of what area it is in their life, help them to trust you. Trust you. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.